Let us pray. O God, on this day you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Direct us by the light of that Spirit, that we may have a right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. You've now heard the story of the Pentecost twice. The children's version is, of course, much shorter than the long one that you've heard, and the complication of all those languages. Thank you, Jane, for reading all those so correctly. Those are an amazing set of words, because they identify the people from all over the place who on that day became Christians. And that's a very important part of Christianity and the roots of Christianity for us today. Whenever I look at the children that come for breakfast at St. Luke's, I look out over a number of different colored children from different parts of the world, from various lands and various continents. So every year we have to deal with a whole number of people in Christianity who have come to believe because the work of the Holy Spirit has touched them. One of the things that I had to read when I was in school was a book called The Half-Known God. And it's a book about the Holy Spirit written by a Danish theologian. And it was written because there are so many questions about the Holy Spirit. It's easy to understand Father. It's easy to understand Son. But it isn't easy to understand what we used to say was Ghost, Holy Ghost. And that's been changed to the modern usage of Spirit. That's also difficult. Half-known God was the Holy Spirit, and we had to learn all the things that make that Spirit come alive for us. Recently, we have a group of women who come here to tie knots in blankets on Thursday morning, and we were here for that morning. And we sat at a table, and one of the women who asks many questions, who's not a member of our church, but listens to what happens on the radio and can listen to us later. But she asks the questions, exactly that question about the Holy Spirit. I can understand about God the Father, I can understand about God the Son, but how do you understand the Spirit of God? How does the Spirit of God relate to you, to me? That was an important question. The quick answer, which is always on the edge of my tongue, is God inside you. I was going to, first of all, bring to us a mirror and hold it up and say, when I look in the mirror, whom do I see? When you look in the mirror, other than combing your hair and brushing your teeth and all that, what do you see? Is there any evidence that you see the Holy Spirit in you? It's a difficult question. That's a very important question that was very, very live question in the 70s and early 80s, because there was a spirit movement in the church at that time. And maybe you were part of it. Maybe you had you had a period of time in your life when the Holy Spirit meant more to you than God. It was a very important thing. It happened. And it was one of those things that began a movement in Christianity. And I remember doing youth gatherings for all the young people that would be willing to come in the province of Alberta at that time, and then across Canada, and across the United States and Canada. And one of the things that happened in those little events was the coming of the Holy Spirit. And people reacted to that. So young people particularly were interested and went out to go to hear pastors preach about the Holy Spirit and to be moved by the excitement and the emotion of the moment. And that was a spirit movement that also created a division in the church, in the Christian church, between those who had been converted by the Spirit and those who had not. And the people who were ordinary Christians sitting in pews on a Sunday and didn't get up and wave their arms and say amen and clap and so on, they were told many times, you aren't really a Christian. That was what one of the worst things about the Spirit movement was, it became a something by which you could judge other people. The Holy Spirit is not a decider who the people are and how they're going to act. The Holy Spirit is in you, and it is in you because it will help you with your life. In the prayer that we started, we said, on this day you open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. You open the hearts of your faithful people by sending into us your Holy Spirit. Opening of the heart. We feel that the heart is the place where faith is and faith reigns. But most of the time when we are asked to believe, we turn, instead of to the heart where we have our feelings, we turn to our mind, rather than the heart. We want to make sure that everything is right. So, the difficulties we face in our lives tend to be the things that we rationalize, and then we come to a conclusion about the things that are in our hearts. We do not and cannot accept a real truth without the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is inside you, and that is something that you can't see on the outside. And so in Christianity, we speak more about heart and love than we speak about arithmetic and logic. It's very difficult for us to imagine a time when we could think that everything happens from the heart out, because we have been so dependent upon our minds that many times, and our emotions, that many times we don't listen to our hearts, to the love that's there for other people and for us ourselves. And so how does God open our hearts to a person, God, who is the Holy Spirit? And the simple truth is, he opens the heart through the things that happen in a worship setting. This is not the only time that you've been in worship. You started being in worship when you were a baby and you came here to be baptized. And God the Holy Spirit was active in that baptism, that thanksgiving for baptism, which we didn't read. We've heard many times because we've used it for the last month. That's a very important thing, to remember our baptism, because in it God came to us and made a dwelling in our hearts by sending us the Holy Spirit. So when you look in the mirror the next time, remember that there is something about you that needs to be understood, and that is that God is inside you by the Holy Spirit. It's a difficult thing to think, but it's a very important thing in a time when our lives are run by our emotions and our intellect. We need to understand the gift that is ours through God and what happens. If you think about what happens in your life other than the baptism that took place, you also watch the children doing something here and listening to a story. Why do we have children's things happening in church? So that the continuation of the baptism takes place. So that all the things that we need to know are heard by the children from so big. Think about you as a child and what your first reaction was to being in church. I hope that the reaction was good. I hope that the action was not bad. But the fact of the matter is, in the last two generations, we have lost an awful lot of young people from the church because of the impact of what happened when they were children at church. And there's a world outside that has no room for church. A young person in my family, I was asking her, why don't you go to church? She's the same age as my daughter, who goes to church and is now chair of the congregation where we go. I asked her, why don't you go to church? And she said, the church has no relevance in my life. That's an interesting statement for somebody who grew up as a Christian, because they have related their total Christianity to church rather than to God, the Holy Spirit. God inside us. God inside you. That's the important relationship that should be built and continue. And we can only start that with the sacrament of baptism, and we can only continue it by teaching children their truths about the God in whom they believe. When do they start believing in God? Most of them start very young because you teach them in your families to pray at mealtime and at going to bedtime. And there are two songs that I think every child knows. And even those who have not been to church all that much know Away in a Manger. And the other song that they know is Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. So in other words, the coming of God into our life is kept alive by the things that we do to enhance the image of God inside us. Jesus loves me. Away in the manger. So, then the other part of the prayer that we said earlier was, direct us by the light of that Spirit. If that Spirit is inside us, what happens to it when we get together? I think the best example I have, and I have a lot of stories, but the best example of having a light affect a worshiping community happened here on Monday, Thursday. Monday, Thursday, there was an electric storm, a snowstorm that wiped out all the electricity around here. We were having a supper before the worship service, and the lights went out. So then, we had to then, I said, where are the candles? Brenda knew where the candles were. So, and then others knew where other lights were. And Trevor, in order to have the light for his music, took his computer telephone out. And it has a light in it, okay? So all of a sudden, the loss of light was gone. We had light. Then we came up here from our candlelit dinner. We came up here and we worshiped it. And everybody brought the candles from downstairs and they came up here and we had the first time in the 2 years that I have been here, the first time that the whole congregation gathered in the front pew all together. Yeah. And it wasn't me that planned it. See, that's the amazing thing. God, how beautifully God helped us to react to gathering to a light. We all went there together, and not only did we have, everybody had their own light, but no, there were people who had a light, and there were people who didn't have a, they had a book. And so the ones lit the book so that the other people could read and sing. And J.R., who was sitting in a pew right here, he had been washing people's hands instead of feet. He came, he was listening to my sermon, and he corrected me in the middle of the sermon. He said, no, that's not right, this is right. See, a spirit of beautiful things, caring things happened that day among all of us. Why? Because we lost light, or because light came, or because we wanted to worship. And we gathered around our candles and our books and our people and worshiped. The most interesting thing about that was at the end of that darkness, I was asked to go and get something, and I said, I can't, my shoelaces are undone. And somebody knelt down and tied up my shoes. And I thought, there's the example of what Peter did not want to have Jesus do. This person served me by tying my laces. Anyway, that's what happens. When the light of the Spirit sort of takes a group of people on and helps them to live together. So we are being asked to be directed by the light of that Spirit. And why? Why do we want to be directed by the Spirit of God? And that is also in this prayer, because it says that we may have the right judgment in all things and rejoice at all times in your peace, Jesus. So we want the right judgment. We make decisions, and we have to make decisions. How do we start them? How do we start making decisions? We put together a number of facts, don't we? Everybody goes through that. And I remember the decision-making in geometry class when you had a theorem and you had to then prove it. It was all arithmetic. In our looking inside of us, how do we make the decisions that we need to make? If not by opening up our heart and our soul to God and saying, God, inside me, help me. That's really why we turn to the Holy Spirit for right judgment. We talk to God in our hearts and our minds. What a big job the Holy Spirit has. Because the Holy Spirit helps us with joy so that we can rejoice. We can enjoy the peace that God gives and the faith in that God who has given us all those wonderful things. What a big job. I'm going to ask you to turn to your hymnal now. Your hymnals are in front of you on page 1162. This is one set of words that I think many of you had to memorize when you were in confirmation class. You may have memorized it in German even, in some cases. But just look at what it says about the Holy Spirit. The third article, the last paragraph down the page of 1162. I believe that by my own understanding or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But instead, the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, made me holy, and kept me in the true faith, just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one common true faith. Daily in this Christian church, The Holy Spirit abundantly forgives all sins, mine and those of all believers. On the last day, the Holy Spirit will raise me and all the dead and will give to me and all believers in Christ eternal life. This is most certainly true. I urge you to use this resource at the back of the hymnal often to remind yourself what it is that we believe about God. Next Sunday is Trinity Sunday, and I will be preaching about the triune God. And I want you all to remember what page that was on, because we'll go there. God be with you. Amen. Amen.